So here the scripture for this morning. Remain standing as you're able. When it comes to getting to heaven, we very often become focused on learning what we have to do to get there, worrying about what others are doing and how we measure up to them, looking for the next way to earn our place. We get so distracted by these that we miss the very obstacles that may be keeping us from understanding or receiving the grace that God offers us. This morning we hear Jesus' difficult words to someone like us, someone who cannot see what is truly binding him or her in this life, what is keeping him or her from knowing the life that is right before them. So hear now the words of Scripture from Mark 10. As he was setting out on a journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not defraud, honor your father and your mother." And so the man says to Jesus, "Teacher, I have kept all these things since my youth." So Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, "You lack one thing. Go, sell what you own and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." When the man heard this, he was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were perplexed by these words. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." They were greatly astounded and said to one another, "Then who can be saved?" And Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals it is impossible, but not for God. For God all things are possible." Peter began to say to him, "Look, we have left everything and followed you." And Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mothers or father or children or fields for my sake and for the sake of the good news who will not receive 100-fold now in this age, houses, brothers and sisters, mothers and children and fields with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last shall be first." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. A couple of summers ago, we vacationed at the Great Wolf Lodge with the Grands. It was actually the fourth year in a row that we had gone on such a vacation. Have you ever been to the Great Wolf Lodge? It's pretty awesome. It's a large indoor-outdoor water park in Grapevine, Texas. I mean, in the middle of summer, an indoor water park with air conditioning. How cool is that? So we loved it so much, we kept going year after year. And so we were in year four, and we got there, and they had added something new. A ropes course and a zip line. It was all the rage. Now, Gunner had just celebrated his 6th birthday. And he is a little guy. Y'all have seen him. He's little for his age. And he was really little for being a 6-year-old. Two things had to happen for him to get up on that high ropes course and that zip line. The first thing, he had to want to do it. He had to really want to do it. And the second thing, he had to have an adult with him. And that wasn't going to be me. That was Faye, his other grandmother. So he and I stayed at the bottom on the small ropes, and after about an hour, he began to really consider the high ropes as achievable for himself. Now, generously, Faye, who had been up there in the blazing heat, this was like at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, with Allie for an hour, offered to stay up there and to give Gunner a chance at the high ropes. He immediately wanted to go to the very top and highest rope, which culminated in a zip line. And the only way to get down was to either take the zip line or crawl copious amounts of, travel copious amounts of steps all the way back down to the bottom. And I know that for Faye, it'd be easier to go on the zip line and get down. So they made their way to the top, and soon Gunnar found himself at the end of the ropes part of the course and the beginning of the zip line part of the course. And it was time for him to take his next big step. The text for our hearing this morning is at its heart a passage about a young man on the brink of all of his tomorrows making a decision about his next big step. It's a text about decision making, faithfulness, commitment, and separation from God. Who and how does one trust? The text is centered around a young man, and he is rich. And the text particularly speaks to his wealth. And it's also centered around his struggle to inherit eternal life. And it calls into question the things and attitudes and practices in our lives that prevent us from total faithfulness and true commitment. The young man begins his talk with Jesus by asking Jesus a simple question. Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He had been following teachers, probably in the background of the disciples following Jesus around. He had heard Jesus speak of eternal life and the richness of heaven and the desire and want to be in heaven. And in essence, in asking the question, what he's saying is, something's not right in my life. Something's missing in my life. I have a lot of stuff and things, but something is missing for me. What am I missing? So Jesus directs him back to the strict adherence to the law. The young man knows that he's a good law keeper, right? Jesus tells him what the law is. He says, Master, teacher, rabbi, I have been keeping these laws since I was very young. He knows he's a good law keeper, but he still knows that there's an emptiness inside, that something is missing. This young man is on the high ropes, and he wants to know what he has to do to take the next big step in his life. When one senses that something is not right in one's life, often this is the result of some kind of separation from God, some kind of distance that's grown between you and God and your relationship. Just like Gunnar on the top of that high ropes course, the rich young man comes to Jesus and stands on the brink of a momentous decision. The rich young man responded to the compelling nature of Jesus' voice and message. He knew that Jesus was offering to him something bigger in his life. He was good and faithful, but there was an emptiness inside that his wealth could not fulfill. So he comes to Jesus seeking answers. And it says in the scripture that Jesus, in response to his seeking, loves him. Jesus loved him immediately. And Jesus saw the boundless potential in him. And so then Jesus challenges him. You lack one thing, one little bitty, tiny, itty bitty thing. Sell all that you have. Give your money away to the poor. Are you here? You following? Hello? Sell all that you have. Give your money away to the poor. And you'll find that you have a treasure in heaven. And once you do that, then you follow me. One little character flaw. You know, I'm a good adherer of the law. But his wealth had captured his heart. And Jesus says we only serve one master. And the price for this young man is seemingly too high. With shaky knees, the rich young man slowly backs away. He couldn't take that last step. And the scripture says he goes away grieving, grieving deeply. Now let's be clear here. Jesus wasn't condemning money or wealth. Jesus' concern was never whether one was wealthy or not. The message was a warning for the rich young man, a warning for the disciples and the crowds who were following Jesus. And it is a warning for us today about our decisions concerning money. I mentioned that financial peace is going to kick off again here beginning on Thursday. There's a preview meeting. Many people benefited from it the last time it was offered here, and I encourage you, if you have concerns about money and how you're spending your money, then please seek out something like financial peace to help you. The bottom line is this: money and stuff and things cannot have first place in our lives. When they take first place, our worldview is changed. We begin to see everything, not only in terms of how much things cost, about how much we have, but we begin to see how our stuff and things measure up to others' stuff and things. Everything gets quantified in terms of price, but maybe not in terms of value. Money and things fix our heart on the world, but not on God. In fact, money often becomes one of those separators from God. And it's not just the love of money that separates. 1,000 things can separate us from God. An attitude, a prejudice, jealousy, political positions, racism, oppression, indifference, a hobby, an unforgiving spirit, even a theological position. All of these can separate us from God if they take first place in our lives. You and I are called to fix our heart on God first, and then God will not be second place in our lives or even further down the food chain. In that crowd that day, other than the young man himself, there were probably no more people than the disciples who were amazed at Jesus' challenge to this rich young man. In Jesus' day, the Pharisees and the religious orthodoxy preached a dangerous prosperity gospel, prosperity theology. It was a popular belief of the day that riches were a sign that your life was in God's favor, similar to the prosperity gospel that is preached today. And so there were the disciples standing by, astonished, provoked to ask the question, then who can be saved? And Jesus says, for mortals it is impossible, but for God all things are possible. Clearly what Jesus is saying here is that we cannot be saved on our own merit or wealth or success. Our salvation is in the hands of God and God alone. This is what we call grace. Amazing, redeeming, salvific grace. Our salvation comes in and through faith in God through Jesus Christ. That's the step the rich young man couldn't take, giving up everything to follow Jesus. So how do you do when you're out on the edge? I think that's what this passage is about at its heart. This passage confronts us in the one area we don't like to be confronted, our commitment and our faithfulness. It challenges us to probe deeply and honestly into our faith relationship with God. It calls us to make a decision about who and how we're going to trust whatever the next step is in our lives. So how are you on the edge? I stood there below my grandson. He was standing on the edge, and he was ready to walk away. He didn't want to take that next big step, even after he had climbed all that to get up to it. Faye asked the staff member up there if she could pick him up and take him with her. The staff member said that that simply wasn't allowed. He told Faye that if Gunner wanted him, he could take Gunner with him across the zip line. So Gunner hesitated. I'll never forget that look back. I wish I'd gotten a picture of that. He kind of looked back at Faye as if to say, is this all right? And believing that the man was going to scoop him up in his arms and take him across that zip line, he relented. So the guy then walks up right behind Gunner. He leans over to him, and this is what happens.
Go ahead, buddy, zip!
Oh, no sound, please, Sam. Did you notice anything in the tape? Let's look at it again, Sam. So look closely. Whoop! There it is. That guy, instead of picking Gunner up in his arms and giving him safety and security, just leaned into him and bumped him right off the edge of that zip line. The thing about this story is that we are told that the rich young man walked away shocked, thinking about his many possessions. But we don't know what happens to this young man. Clearly, that day in that conversation, this young man found himself on the edge. I can't help but wonder if that conversation with Jesus that day might have been a kind of bump, chest bump, knee bump, from Jesus that eventually sent that young man sailing into a whole new life. So how are you when you're on the edge?